Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we asked ChatGPT to help us build a quality gaming PC, but can we trust the results? I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKay. It has been extremely hot here in the Hardware Asylum Labs, as such in the Pacific Northwest mountain region of Idaho. I mean, what, 100 degrees for 2 weeks in a row? It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, I guess, where we just are hot.
We're hot. And, you know, we didn't have an extra last month, partially because it's hot in the lab and we didn't really have a lot of things to talk about. However, I think we have a doozy this time around that Darren brought.
Well, yeah. I saw an article and it's been getting a lot of press. So if you're seeing this, you may already have heard about it, where Newegg had integrated ChatGPT into their system to help you build a PC. And I just think that's really cool. ChatGPT is kind of the hot up-and-coming thing in the tech world.
Yeah, it's AI. It's awesome.
I think everybody's heard of it, and we're all kind of curious about what it does. To see it help you build a PC, I just thought was really cool. So I wanted to talk about that.
For people that don't know what ChatGPT is, it's a chatbot. So in a way, it's like going to an expert, or in this case, a robot, and asking a question and getting a response. So if somebody comes to us and says, hey, we want to build a computer, we would give them a response. Now, our response might be another question to help narrow things down. But in the chatbot world, it just says, hey, I'm going to answer this question as best I can based off of my database and give you a spew of information, which is kind of a foreshadowing of this article.
I agree. Now, I want to kind of preface before we dig into how it's being used by Newegg that you can use ChatGPT for free.
Yes.
And you probably should use it. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But there is also a paid version, which I'm sure you can imagine is much better than the free version.
Yeah, it has a slightly different database, supposedly.
So I don't think I've ever used the paid version. Maybe I will eventually, but my understanding is it's mainly used by enterprise and corporate customers because it's $20 a month per user, or maybe there's a group license. But anyway,
it's hard to say. So, but it's how OpenAI is making money.
Absolutely. And we all think this is probably the future somehow. We just aren't really sure how yet. But that being said, this is the first time I've seen a real practical application of it that isn't just ask me a question.
Which is kind of interesting. So the premise of this article, and it's at Tom's, we'll link it down in the show notes below. So if I haven't mentioned it before, come out to hardwareasylum.com, check the show notes for this particular episode, and you know, check out the rest of the website too. But we have an article here where the author goes through and tries out the new plugin. And you need to have the ChatGPT 4 a license edition to be able to get the full effect, basically.
So that's the paid version.
And that's the paid version. And he went in and he, let's see, let's scroll down. I'm looking at the article right now. He asked it a question. I wanted the best gaming PC under $1,000. So this is what it suggested.
Ooh, so now we like to talk about builds here. Mm-hmm. And it's always interesting what people choose, but what does the AI choose?
It picked... basically, an AMD Ryzen 5, I think it's a 5600, and then it paired that with an MSI Pro B-series motherboard and some various other items. But the highlight of it is the processor and the motherboard that it came back with.
And the video card, right? The core components that we all stress on the budget, right?
Yeah. And if we scroll down, here's the list. So if we look at the list that it came back with, it's a Ryzen 5 5600. It is a 6-core, 3.5 gigahertz processor. We have an MSI Pro B550 motherboard, a video card, which is an MSI Radeon RX 6700 XT. And we don't review too many AMD Radeon cards on Hardware Asylum, so I'm not sure where this fits in the list, but I'm sure it's on the budget end.
Right.
We have some G-Skill RipJaws memory, really great stuff. We have a Team Group NVMe drive, a Fractal Design chassis, and some Corsair power supply, and a cooling system by MSI Mag.
Well, it's interesting that the AI would choose an all-in-one liquid cooler.
Instead of just using an air cooler?
Yeah, but it's at $89 at the time that this search happened. In fact, I do want to mention that one of the major things they point out in this article is even though they asked for the budget to be $1,000, if you add up all those things, and you can do the math by looking at the article, or you can just trust the author who says that it ends up costing $1,123.09. So a bit of a stretch on his budget. So the AI is like your good friend who wants you to spend just a little bit more, Dennis.
Yeah, but he goes in and says, well, we look at this build and it's like, hey, it looks great if we don't know what we're looking at. So obviously price is a problem. And then we also are looking at the individual components that were suggested, and some of them could be swapped out for better or more modern parts. So he goes in and says, hey, we want to revise this a little bit. And it comes back with another build, which is now a Ryzen 7 5700G, the same motherboard, a different graphics card, which is a GeForce RTX 4060. Oh,
we need to talk about that, but keep going, keep going.
We have a G-Skill RipJaws memory with 32 gigabytes at this point. We have a Samsung 980 NVMe drive, 1 terabyte, a Fractal Meshify chassis. We have an EVGA Supernova power supply, and the cooling system happens to be a Hyper 212.
The classic Hyper 212. Everybody recommends that. Well, the reason I wanted to stop on the video card here is because it recommended an RTX 4060, which is really interesting because the ChatGPT right now has a drop-dead date of September 2021.
Yeah, that was when the database was last refreshed. And that's something that the author talks about in here is like, well, the 4060 wasn't out in 2021.
So how did it get recommended?
Exactly. And that is something that I think Newegg added to the API when they built this app.
Well, I think we should generalize, and we don't need to talk about the builds because we do that a lot around here, but in general, both of those builds would make nice PCs.
Yes, exactly.
And they would be good gaming PCs, not what I would choose.
No, I probably wouldn't suggest any of that stuff.
But for $1,000, you're going to get a competent PC, which is kind of a nice thing to say.
Well, and $1,000 is that magical region where you're kind of in the realm of junk, and it's really hard to get something good, which is why it's a challenge and probably why they suggested that for this particular article. However, as I was reading through this, it really seems like the author was, we got to make my quota today, so I'm going to write an article, and it happens to be about ChatGPT, and this Newegg thing is really hot right now. But it's a little naive in the way that it's written because accounts for ChatGPT require one that you pay for, and that's really in the enterprise space. Not many people are going to be paying $20 a month to go build a $1,000 PC.
Yeah, that is a little strange. So I wonder if we tried to do that with the free one, what would happen?
Well, let's go over, and we did this offline, so I'm going to just click over to another tab.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I basically asked ChatGPT the same basic questions.
Which, as of this statement, is version 3.5 free.
So the first question, I just typed in build a PC, and it comes back with a huge list. Here's a step-by-step guide on building a PC, and it's relatively complete. And it has some verbiage in here that is really common for some of the like the Reddit posts and some of the online forums. The verbiage seems like it was just lifted off of that.
Yeah, so, step-by-step how to build a PC, but not a step-by-step how to buy your components.
Exactly. Now, this is where I get an interesting response when I say, can you tell me what parts I need to buy to build a $1,000 gaming PC? Sure, building a $1,000 gaming PC, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, we're seeing a Ryzen 5 5600X. We're seeing an NVIDIA 3080 or the RTX 67 XT. Right. Those sound familiar. We have the motherboard, which is a B5500. We have 16 gigabytes of RAM. We now have 1 terabyte hard drives. A lot of this stuff seems really, really similar.
Why is that?
I'm going to say that the database that ChatGPT is pulling from for those particular questions is common between the two versions of ChatGPT.
Well, that, I guess, makes sense, right? Because you don't want to have to build two separate databases.
No, not really. And the database is what really makes the AI work. What Newegg added to this through the API is a way for them to recognize when items are coming back and then query an API within the Newegg database to say, let's find the price for that.
All right, I'm going to stop you here because in our world, we know what an API is, but what's a simple description for the folks that might be listening that don't know?
That is an application programming interface. And basically, in layman's terms, that is allowing me to contact an application, warehouse, whatever, database, and ask it a question and get a response. So in the case of Newegg, they have their inventory of what's available, and they have probably some rules on top of that saying, well, if this item isn't available, what else are we going to suggest? Or if this item is suggested, which ones are really popular? We're going to return that one. Or which one do we get the highest margin off of?
Makes sense.
So at this point, Newegg controls what is being returned during this chatbot based off of what the chatbot happens to give the person. So if it's going to recommend an AMD Radeon graphics card, Newegg can say, well, which one are we going to recommend? And then it can interject which one it wants to show. That was one of the comments that the author put in that Tom's Hardware article, is that, well, it's suggesting an MSI Radeon graphics card, but we know that that's overpriced. It's $300 more than the base model that you can get. So why did it make that recommendation? Well, I just kind of explained it. Newegg controls it. That's what they're going to suggest to you.
So I think that's an important point because ChatGPT only knows what it knows.
Exactly.
And when it's pulling the information, that information is controlled by the source. In this case, Newegg's inventory and Newegg's API rules.
Yep.
So if you're a Newegg, of course, you're going to have some bias as to what information is being provided to ChatGPT. Now, as the ChatGPT API grows or as other companies use it, the AI can be more intelligent because it has more information to draw from.
Yeah, it will start to learn. And that's one of the nice things about AI and why it is such a powerful tool. So as more people start using this Newegg tool saying, hey, build me a computer for $1,500. You can start asking it a question. Why did you recommend the Ryzen 5? I would really like to see a Ryzen 7 in this build. It will go and recalculate all that stuff using the Newegg tools and the Newegg responses, and then recalibrate what it's going to recommend based off of this new processor you put in there. ChatGPT is going to remember that and then make that suggestion when somebody else comes in saying, well, I want something using this processor. Now it's pulling out this previous build. It works on the principle of what has happened before and if it is a valid response for what it is you're asking for.
Well, it sounds like you need to kind of know how to get ChatGPT to give you what you want.
Yes, and it's smart. It kind of knows what it is that you're looking for based off of previous responses. And obviously, the more interaction, the better it's going to get. But as you said, it only knows what it knows. And in this case, it only knows what the programmer has put in there because this is a custom tool from Newegg, you know, to use their particular system and kind of give you a buffer for recommendations on something. So the way that I really see it being used is in the enterprise space. We have somebody in a data center saying, our switch went down. We need to get a replacement. I'm going to go to Newegg, ask the chatbot. I have the switch. It has 24 ports and needs to have two uplinks. What do you have? It returns something. You click on it, goes directly to the cart. You buy it. You're done. You don't actually have to search through the entire Newegg interface, the Newegg database to find that switch. You just see what's available. Click it. You're done.
Well, I like that because in a sense, it takes all of the unknowns out of it. It's going to suggest something that solves your problem. So I think that's kind of the point I get. If you want chatbot to work for you, even in this specific circumstance, it's all about how you ask the questions.
Exactly.
So in the example you just used, you need to give it enough information that it can narrow it down to a single product response. As a great example, when we searched, you know, how to build a PC, it just gave us generic instructions as opposed to what should I buy to build a $1,000 PC, where we suddenly got a lot more actionable data. So, you know, how would you suggest that you qualify this kind of request? I mean, what's a good request?
In my experience of using ChatGPT, I find that if you're very specific and very precise in what it is you're asking, that's the better response. And it really works in the real world too. If you're going to be going up to somebody like a barista, for instance, you're ordering your coffee, I want a black coffee. They're going to give you a black coffee. It's like, well, maybe you want to have like cream and sugar or like a little bit of nutmeg on top or a little sprig of mint in the corner. That's where you need to be very specific in what it is that you're asking so that when the response comes back, that is really what your expectation was. So in the case of asking Newegg about, hey, I want to build a gaming PC, but you need to include things like price or what kind of processor you want to use, what graphics card do you want to use. And of course, if the answer you get is not what you're looking for, just like in a normal conversation, you can refine it. You can say, ChatGPT, I want this particular processor. Why is this one better than that one? Something along those lines. It knows that you had asked that question before. It knows what response it gave. It's a learning process. So at that point, it knows all this information that's already happened, and it's going to build on that. That's where you get these better responses and where you're going to get a very more refined answer. The funny story about running a website like Hardware Asylum and NinjaLing.com before that was that people would come to me and ask me questions, much like the ChatGPT bot at Newegg. It's like, I want to build a computer. What's the best computer that I could get?
Oh, yeah. Everybody with computer knowledge is used to those kinds of questions, yeah. I think.
And you know, there was always a standard list of questions and responses that we would have during this interaction. So it'd be like, well, what do you want to spend? What are you going to use it for? Is it going to be under your desk? Is it going to be on top of your desk? Is your house hot? Or do you live in an air-conditioned basement? And stuff like that, right? All those things are just to help you narrow down what it is that you're going to be recommending. I had a project that I started a long time ago. It never really got off the ground because, you know, one, I had a life, and it really became very, very expensive in getting it off the ground. Once it got off the ground, I think it would have been fine, but I didn't want to spend that much time on it. But I called it Upgrade Alley. And the idea behind this was that I would have four builds at various different levels. So you'd have like a workstation style build, you'd have a high-end gaming build, or you'd have a mainstream build or a budget build. I would make a recommendation of what to put into that machine, and it would have a list that you could go and say, well, click this, and then it would go out to Price Grabber. I was using them as an affiliate at the time, and it would pull up a list, and it would tell you how much it would cost. It was really kind of cool. Nowadays, you would probably send it off to Newegg or something like that, but the idea was that once a month, I would go and upgrade something. So it might be an upgrade of the entire build of like if a new processor came out, or it might be just swapping out a graphics card. The idea is that we're always constantly upgrading and it's always fresh at that point. So when people come back, they say, well, what's the latest build from Upgrade Alley or Hardware Asylum or whatever? And as you can imagine, there is a lot of effort put into that to populate a database of, well, how many processors do we have available? What video cards are available? And if none of those things are in there, then, you know, somebody has to add them. And it turns out that there was another website that came up at around that same time that did just exactly what I was that I wanted to do and kind of did a little bit better. And that was PC Part Picker. We've talked about that before on the podcast.
Yeah, still out there.
And the idea is that you go to PC Part Picker and you say, well, I want to build a gaming PC. And you start with something. It's like you start with a motherboard. And then it will know what processors are available. And then you can select a processor that will, it's compatible with that motherboard. You put that on there. It'll select memory for you. And at the end, it gives you a price. And a lot of places are where you can buy stuff. So there's affiliates that work with PC Part Picker, Newegg's one of them, Amazon and some other stores. And they will have active prices so you know how much it costs. If something's on sale, if there's a coupon, it's a really great resource. But you have to have a little bit of knowledge about what it is you're selecting and why you're selecting it. And that is really, I think, what the Newegg system was trying to alleviate or at least hide behind the covers. The bot is the expert.
Trust the bot.
Trust the bot.
Well, yeah. And to some extent, if you're smart enough that you know the bot is wrong, you probably don't need the bot.
Exactly. Now, of course, this entire discussion that we've had is really under the assumption that the person that is asking has a desire to really build a PC. Because I've had some people come up to me and say, hey, I want to build a PC. I think it's awesome. And I need recommended specs. I give them recommended specs and they never do anything with it. And I go, well, why did you ask me? So, oh, well, I was just curious. And well, it's like, well, do you have a desire to build the PC or do you want a PC? It's, oh, no, I'm just happy with my phone or I like my laptop or my dad bought me this thing and it's just great. But I was really exploring it. You know, they're curious about it. They don't necessarily want to do it.
Well, I think in the gaming circle especially, that is kind of the age-old question, right? Should you build a PC or should you buy a PC? And at least in this case, we're assuming you want to build a PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Which is better?
How about we ask Chatbot?
How about it?
All right, so I'm going to type in a question. It says, is it better to build a PC or buy one that is pre-built?
Oh, okay. So it's a pretty general statement, but...
Yeah, I didn't even add the question mark at the end.
Or gaming or any qualifiers, which we've already talked about. So you can even dial that in even more, but...
We have a wall of tests that came back from ChatGPT. It says, whether it's better to build a PC or buy a pre-built one depends on your specific needs, preferences, and level of expertise. Both options have their advantages and disadvantages. So let's take a look at some of the factors.
Ooh, very curious. Let's see if we agree.
All right, so advantages. We have customization, we have cost effectiveness, and we have the learning experience. It's probably the whole reason to do this.
Well, the learning experience is, I think, what you alluded to. Building a PC can be very daunting and very scary the first time, especially that you build it. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to start sometime.
Exactly. And I think maybe it's important to point out that when Dennis and I started building PCs, the process of building a PC was much harder than it is today.
Yeah, and there was considerably less information. I still remember the first advice I ever got from a guy about building a PC. I go to this store, you know, it was basically a repair shop. Because back then, repair shops would go and stick their old hardware on the shelf and you could go in and buy it, right?
Right.
So I go and pick up a 386 SX16.
Ooh, that's a ways back.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. I buy this board. It was like $30 or something like that. It was really, really super cheap. And I pick it up, and the guy says, hey, so do you know how to put this in? And I say, well, I'm learning. He says, well, here, a little bit of advice. When you hook up the power, the black wires go together.
Oh, that sounds like something so obvious today, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, and it turns out that AT motherboards back then, they had, 9 or 10 pins or something like that. The power connector was in a straight line, unlike power connectors now where we have ATX where it's 20 pins or 24 pins.
And they're keyed, making it pretty difficult to do it wrong.
Yeah. Well, the power supplies back then had plus nine or something like that. Anyhow, the connectors were separate. And so you could get them reversed because they were not necessarily keyed.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
So you could put them in backwards. Well, if you put the black wires together, because the ground is in the middle, then you plug that in, it'll work great. If you switch them around, then you're doing reverse voltage into the motherboard and it will actually cause the whole thing to fry.
Yay, so glad we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, you can kind of get away with that a little bit because the designers add diodes to those power leads so that the power doesn't get to something the wrong direction. Those old motherboards back in the day, they were built really, really fast and just kind of, you know, it works. There wasn't a lot of QA involved, so.
Well, very valid point. The hardware that we used to have back in those days was not as robust as it is today. Mm-hmm. Much easier to hurt it. That's why we all have these stories about static straps and frying your hardware and forgetting to connect this, that, or the other. But the world today we live in, most of that stuff is pretty brainless. I mean, not entirely.
Not entirely, but if it's going to fit, it will fit. If it doesn't, it's probably not supposed to be installed there.
So cost effectiveness, not as big as it used to be, in my opinion.
No, you can really get
a pretty great deal on a pre-built, especially if you find a sale. It might be a few dollars more, but you need to take into account the value of your time, energy, and frustration might be more than the difference in cost.
And the one thing that a lot of people forget is that the operating system, if we buy Windows 11, it's $100. But if an OEM buys it, it's usually like 10.
Yeah, do your Googling because sometimes you can find a sale even on that. But yep. Let's talk about it more. Disadvantages. Well, we kind of covered these. Time and effort.
Time and effort, yep.
Oh, yeah, especially your first time. It's going to be very time-consuming and scary.
We have the technical knowledge required. You know, you have to know what you're doing. If we didn't tell you that the processor only fits in one way, you might try to put it in backwards and it won't fit and you'll screw up stuff.
Yeah, the golden rule of building a PC today is don't force anything.
Yeah, if it doesn't fit, try it a different way, or it doesn't go there. And the last one is no immediate support. Now, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, say you buy all your components, you have them shipped to your house. I'm hoping that you pull out the manual and start reading the various manuals and going step by step to go through it. They're actually really good.
Particularly your motherboard manual is essentially a manual to building a PC most of the time.
And the chassis one is how to install everything inside the box.
There you go. Hot tip.
Now, if you screw up anything or you get everything put together and you hit the power switch and it doesn't work, what do you do? And that's where this immediate support is not available.
Get on Reddit, right?
Oh, wait, no, we don't have a PC. We can't do that.
Call your buddy that does. Now, honestly, if this really does happen, the short answer is take it apart, start again slower.
There are certain things that have to be installed for the PC to run, and there are certain things that have to be installed for it to just do something. Ooh. So break it down to the point where it just needs to do something. But then again, that's advanced.
Absolutely. Get on your smartphone, send a letter to Hardware Asylum. We'll answer your questions.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
We've kind of covered, I think, a lot of this, but let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of buying a pre-built as according to the ChatGPI.
Okay. We have advantages.
Woohoo.
Convenience.
Yes. Very much so.
I'm going to go to Best Buy, buy a computer, bring it home, plug it in, turn it on. It's awesome. Just like an Apple. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. It might even come with support and an 800 number.
Oh, yeah. Or at least you could take it back to the Geek Squad and say, this thing don't work. Geek it for me.
There you go.
We have support and warranty. Hey, we just talked about that.
Very good.
And time savings because, you know, just going down to the store and picking it up, bringing it home, it's a lot easier than the generally hour to 2 hours to put together a full gaming PC.
Plus software, plus updates, plus frustration.
Yeah, and that can go to 2 to 3 days to a whole week sometimes. Oh, my gosh. Disadvantages, limited customization. That is probably the primary number one thing that is the limiting factor of a pre-built PC.
Yeah, and you can get customization in a pre-built PC, but every customization is going to cost you. Oh, it's going to cost you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you go to the restaurant, you want to have an extra burger patty. That's not necessarily on the menu. They can do it, but then they'll charge you an extra burger.
Absolutely. Oh, and point two kind of covers that.
Higher cost. Pre-built PCs can be more expensive than building one yourself due to the additional cost and assembly and the customer support. You have to pay somebody to put this together. That's the whole point.
Right.
And that has to come out somewhere.
And the customer support and the warranty are going to be additional costs just across the board. Now, a lot of folks are going to say, I need to have that cushion of support. Mm-hmm. That probably means you shouldn't be building your own PC.
Yes.
All right. What else you got?
We have the lower quality components. Now, this really ties to number two because we have to pay somebody to put this thing together. We know that our consumers are only going to pay X amount of dollars for this particular PC. Either they'll build it themselves or screw it up themselves or whatever. To do that, we get lower quality components to put that computer together to help increase the pre-built PC's margins on the side of the people building the computer.
So this sums it up nicely, and you can go out and do your own chat search for this also. Basically talking about the decision between building and buying is basically about comfort, budget. I think maybe the most important thing that you should get out of this entire process, though, isn't just about the builds, but it's about ChatGPT in general. It is helpful, but it does require you to have some knowledge and desire to get the correct answers that you need. Just like every other tool, Dennis, ChatGPT is only as good as you make it.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been an Engine Lane production, copyright 2023. Thanks for listening.